Today on Jay Sekulow Live, folks, you won't even believe this. CNN saying that Biden's blue wall appears to be crumbling. And who was it on CNN? Don Lemon. We'll talk about that as we are just a few days out from Election Day on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. So, I mean, we have reached Friday as we go into the final weekend before Election Day. The president, very busy. He's heading to Michigan. I know Rick Rennell, our special advisor who's been on the road, will be joining us in the third segment of this broadcast, and he is will be in Michigan as well. He'll actually be joining us from that rally by phone and to give us an update on. He's been in Wisconsin. He's going to be in Michigan. Then Rick is going to be in Pennsylvania. A lot of focus on Pennsylvania. But, Dad, what happened on CNN yesterday, and you notified all, not all of us watch CNN all the time. Some of us have young kids at home, but you're watching it.
I was.
And it was Chris Cuomo and then Don Lemon with the even more shocking statement. I want to play what Don Lemon said again for people who are just joining us, because this is what happens when you're just a few, you know, you're going into that final weekend, you're four, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you're 4 days away from Election Day. And this is now where CNN is, where if you're Don Lemon, who is no fan of the president and would love to be saying it's going to be a Biden landslide, he's not anymore. Take a listen.
Joe Biden says it is over if Florida goes blue. He is up 3 points over Trump, according to CNN's poll of polls there. But your campaign doesn't need Florida. Is this time in Florida today? I mean, are you worried that Georgia, he's there, he's in Georgia earlier this week. Should you guys be there more often, shoring up this blue wall that seems to be crumbling?
Well, Don, we are fighting for every single vote all over this country. We've been very clear that we feel as though we've opened up as many paths to 270 as possible.
You heard what he said. And this is very important.
Yeah.
The blue wall that appears to be crumbling. Now, he said that because
he said, why are you going to Georgia when you should be going to states
like
you
Florida.
Need to hold, like Florida, like states like Pennsylvania where you need to hold? Why spend time in states that would be great to win, but you don't have to win for Election Day when you're starting to slip in other states and the polls
and
keep tightening in other states?
And here's what the reason. Let me. I watched a lot of the different networks at night because my kids are all grown and my grandkids are with my kids. So Pam and I watched some of the other networks. Last night I decided to take a look at CNN and MSNBC. There was a similar theme on MSNBC, not quite as dramatic, but here's what led to it, Jordan. On Chris Cuomo's program, they were talking about the fact that all this early voting that everybody was so excited about, when they started breaking it down in Miami-Dade, which you'll be able to address specifically, it was not what they expected. In other words, they expected a blowout for Joe Biden, and it was neck and neck Republican-Democrat.
Yeah, I mean, that
within a couple of points.
And let me tell you something. This is interesting. Last time around, because President Trump was a bit of an unknown, usually the Cuban-American vote in Miami-Dade is strongly Republican, but they didn't know a lot about Donald Trump. So the turnout there wasn't as significant, the numbers that they usually are. Now we're starting to see significant numbers among the Latino population in Miami, which happens to be predominantly Cuban and South and Central Americans who have fled, what do you think, socialist and communist governments. And Donald Trump's message and Vice President Pence's message of they want to turn us, Biden and Kamala Harris, into this socialist experiment really resonates there. And so it is tightening. Today on the broadcast, as we do on these Fridays before the elections, everybody who's on, including Rick, we're going to ask for their prediction. Where do they think, if the election was done today, where do you think it falls? Where do you think it falls, folks? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We'll talk more about some of these early voting. These are not polls. These are numbers coming in. I think that that's clear to point out. These are numbers of states that track how many Democratic early votes have been made, how many people they requested that, or how many Republicans have early voted, and they're tracking that because they have party registration there.
But you both know, Andy's here too, you both know Miami-Dade. I mean, Miami-Dade is a Democratic stronghold.
Miami-Dade itself is actually Miami-Dade is not. It's Miami Beach.
Okay,
that is the Democrat stronghold. Miami-Dade, if you go into the, it has a Republican mayor.
Yeah,
the mayor of Miami is a Republican Cuban. They are more, I'd say, moderate, but still very much anti-left.
Yeah,
because they fled from that, and the new group of Latino Americans living in that county also have fled places like Venezuela. They fled earlier Colombia during the drug wars. They fled leftist authoritarian regimes. They don't like socialism. They've created great small businesses. At this point in Miami, I mean, the Cuban-American community, this is not like some new immigrant community. They are running the city from being the doctors, the mayors, the elected officials, the most wealthy people, most successful people, and there's still immigrants coming in from that community. But they, but you know, you're not just talking about like a new immigration wave. And so,
but they're shocked down there that it got so tight.
I think it's because last time around that community didn't know where Donald Trump was. So they are actually more solidly behind traditional Republicans that they know are anti-communist, anti-this, anti-that. Now that they've seen Donald Trump in action with his pro-growth, pro-American, like the exact opposite of socialism and totalitarian or authoritarian governments, they are totally backing him, and it's why that could be a big boost to Trump in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see. I want to digress for a minute here, though, because we've got a situation. You know, we talk about the macro issues.
That's right.
Supreme Court. We talk about the national election. But, you know, every day at the American Center for Law and Justice, we're handling cases for students and parents and teachers, and we've done thousands of cases in light of the COVID situation, helping out families with, by the way, great results. Every family we help is a win. But there's a situation developing in all places in Southeast Georgia. Andy, what is the world is going? This was a child's school had a superhero day, right?
Right.
So what happened?
Well, this was a superhero day in which the school in Southeast Georgia, a public school, by the way, was encouraging all the students to dress up as their superhero or heroine, whoever they might be, and to dress up in the costume. And this young fifth grader, 10 years old, comes from a family of four. The mother is a pharmacist, so they're prominent in the community. He came to school, and he made his own little costume. He took a Trump flag and put it on a cape, put on a red shirt, put on a red hat, and he came in. His mother dropped him off at 7:30, and he was doing his preschool work, and he was told by the administration of the school that he had to take off the Trump cape, that he had to take off the Trump hat and turn his little school shirt that he was wearing with a T on it inside out so that the T would not show, because they didn't want to offend anybody, Jay.
Yeah, and this was a superhero day thing. You could pick your superhero. Oh. Now, listen.
Let me tell you something, too. We just got off the phone with the mother, and this is having effects on the kid because he's 10. And she said, you know, he did this on his own. This wasn't something like his parents did. He's unique. And I said, so was I. I was walking around with like Ross Perot masks on during election years and pictures to prove it. And George H.W. Bush mask when I was a little kid. So I understand where her kid's coming from. He's just interested in it. Something's caught his attention. And that's nothing wrong with that, being interested in presidential politics, whatever age. But then it's affected him even today. So, for instance, this was like the school's kind of like a spirit week, and they had the funky socks day. And not only would he not let his sister wear funky socks, he wouldn't either. So yeah, it's affecting him because, again, it's a 10-year-old. And as his mom said, when you get called into like the vice principal's office and told you did something wrong, it has an effect on you, whether or not the vice principal's in the right or the wrong. The superintendent down there is trying to walk this fine line and trying to kind of say it was just a misunderstanding. We're not accepting that, and we're working with the family.
We're going to get a full apology. We're going to get the policy changed. This is absurd. And did we ever verify if the teacher or if the principal or the vice principal said something to the effect that the United States is not a superpower?
I had heard that they had said something to him. The United States is not a superpower, therefore he's not a super president. So we're talking about indoctrination now. As you know, Jay, and you've argued before the Supreme Court of the United States, the First Amendment does not stop at the schoolhouse door.
Neither students nor teachers surrender their rights to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse case. Tinker versus Des Moines, 1969. Santa Fe versus Doe, 1997 or 1999. Also in FEC, in the McCain-Feingold case, we argued on behalf of students. And again, the court reiterated as recently as 2003, students have free speech rights. That includes the students' rights. I just want everybody to know that the ACL, we're not just dealing with Supreme Court cases, which of course we are, or elections or impeachments or Mueller reports or free speech litigation around the world. We also do it right there in South Georgia for a family that needs it. Just like the cases Jordan started with the team dealing with these kids that need special help during the COVID crisis. I think 2,100 families we've assisted so far?
Yes, 21. So, still still assisting. Most of the time it was to get the right technology if they had to do work from home, if they had independent education plans to make sure they had the right tutors, right opportunities available. And because of legal assistance, most of the time, these parents did ask, and they got no response. Once the ACLJ got involved, they started getting the electronics they needed. Some have had internet installed. Many have had internet, high-speed internet installed at their home at the cost of the school because of the ACLJ, and rightfully so. If these students have got to learn from home, they've had their independent education plans for those kids who need that figured out as well. Does it mean everything is perfect? Does it mean we're done fighting that battle? Absolutely not. You can support our work on that at ACLJ.org. I do want to get back to a little bit of the politics,
yes,
though.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's have that graph ready from CNN on Florida early voting. Do we have that graph ready, guys? Not yet. So when we do have it ready, then I'll play what Chris Cuomo had to say. But I want to play what Allison Camerota had to say, too. We're seeing this a lot from CNN. She was talking to a Democrat congresswoman from Florida, Frederica Wilson. Take a listen, Byte 28.
So what I think the numbers are showing is that many more Republicans have already gone in person to vote in early voting than Democrats. And Congresswoman Frederica Wilson of that district is trying to sound the alarm. She talked to Politico and said that what she's seeing is very concerning for her because what she's seeing, she says, in terms of the black community and Hispanic, it's not going Biden's way.
Not going Biden's way is what she said. And I think, you know, when
that was all night, by the way, on CNN. Just so people know, all night on CNN, that's what we were hearing.
If we can put the tweet up from Lil Wayne, who is a famous rapper. Famous rapper, Lil Wayne. Some know him as Wheezy. He put up a tweet. I think we could show it to people. He just said, I mean, this is amazing. He said, just had a great meeting with @RealDonaldTrump at POTUS. Besides what he's done so far with criminal reform, the Platinum Plan is going to give the community, and he talks about the black community, real ownership. He listened to what we had to say today and assured he will and can get it done. He sent this out yesterday. I mean, he's sending this out just days and as people are voting. And when Frederica Wilson, a congresswoman, African-American congresswoman from Florida, says the black vote is not going our way, the Hispanic vote is not going our way, even Ice Cube, you know, the Platinum Plan, he said, both parties contacted me. Democrats said we'll address this after the election, but the Trump campaign made adjustments to their plan after talking to us. That's from Ice Cube. I mean, these are not traditional Republicans. Now we've got up on the screen. This is important. Florida, these are pre-election vote casts. So this is a mail-in and in-person. It was supposed to be Democrats just dominating the early voting.
Right.
Republicans only 3 points behind. This is a very bad sign for Democrats in Florida. Very bad, because we know on Election Day, Republicans turn out in higher numbers. And so the fact, and those numbers, I think we're going to have the sound in the next segment, those numbers have narrowed in just a week. Last week, it was like 10-point difference. This week, it's numbered, you know, it's narrowing by three. So again, Rick Grenell, our special advisor, foreign policy and national security, and you know, another one of his roles, he's with the RNC. He's on the campaign trail. He's going to be actually joining us from the rally in Michigan in the next segment, and he could talk to this too.
We just got Cecil Henderson, who watches us on Facebook, just let us know that his daughter wore a Trump shirt to band practice, was hit by another student with the student's instrument case. Adults, I guess teachers, were present and did nothing. Folks, if your kids are being harassed, that's for freedom of speech right. Again, ACLJ, sure, we handle the big cases. But these little ones, not so little for that family. Not so little for that family in South Georgia. So, Cecil Henderson, if you're still listening, go to ACLJ.org to our legal helpline, and we're going to get you some help right now. And at least get policies put in place to protect these students. We do the same thing with somebody else's T-shirt. I mean, this is just, it's ridiculous. But we're ready to help. We want to help. ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're checking back in with our special advisor on national security and foreign policy, former Trump cabinet official Rick Rennell, who yesterday was joining us from the airport in Wisconsin. Today he is on the ground in Michigan just before the president has a rally there. Rick, as always, we want to be checking in with you each day as a special advisor to the ACLJ. You've got a new piece up too at ACLJ.org. I know you just tweeted it out. I just tweeted it out. Anonymous revealed another radical left mainstream media hoax. We'll get to that in a minute. But let me ask you first. You've gone from Wisconsin to Michigan. We're seeing polls tightening. We're seeing even the early voting poll numbers, not polls, early voting numbers tighten, which is scaring the Democrats, especially on CNN. What is your kind of idea of the state of the race right now? Because today on our broadcast, each Friday before elections, we go around the horn and say, you know, if the election was today, who do you think would win? But Rick, what are you sensing?
Well, I'm in Oakland County, Michigan. I just got off the stage at the Trump rally to pump up the crowd and greet them and thank them for coming out in freezing, freezing cold weather. It was snowing right before I got up on stage, and the president should be arriving here in about a half hour for a rally. Michigan is going to be close, but I like our chances. I'd rather be Trump than Biden at this point. Trump is rising, and the crowd here in Michigan is all working class people who are fired up to support the president. I think what the people are really getting annoyed with is this lockdown and Joe Biden's commitment to, you know, have a national mask mandate and more social distancing, which means restaurants will have to close parts of their areas. They'll do less business. It's like shutting things down.
Yep.
He wants social distancing of all businesses and mask mandates. We can't do that. We don't surrender as Americans. And so I think people are seeing that we have to open up and we have to fight back.
I wanted to ask you a question, Rick, about the piece you posted, because to me, you know, I had to deal with this anonymous situation because, you know, we never knew where the leaks were coming from, who it was, and obviously conversations that I was having with the president or staff as a lawyer, you know, you worry about those things. And then CNN and MSNBC were touting this, and so was ABC, NBC, and CBS, from that, some senior administration official. So every time you walked into a meeting with a senior administration official, I don't have to tell you because you had the same experience. You're wondering, is this the one? Then you find out that the guy had already been on CNN, denied he was the anonymous, and we find out he was a mid-level staffer that was not a senior advisor to the president. He was, what was it, a deputy chief of staff?
He was a policy advisor, and then for a few weeks became chief of staff to the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, like at the end of his tenure.
For a few weeks.
Yeah. So, Rick, what was this? I mean, this was, of course, CNN was eating crow last night on this one, and they said, you know, they said the night before, they said, well, you lied to us. You told us it wasn't you.
Look, let's be very clear about something. The New York Times knew exactly who this mid-level staffer was. They created a persona as a senior administration official. Let's be very clear. The New York Times lied to us. They created a hoax of a senior administration official when there wasn't a senior administration official. They've got to answer for this. Why is it that the New York Times created a person that wasn't real? They pretended like this was the inner circle. This person didn't even work at the White House. This is the biggest joke. I actually think that the people who bought the book should sue the publisher because they bought a book claiming to be a senior administration official, an insider that would be able to give them inside stuff.
Right.
And that whole book was a joke.
Well,
it was an outsider's perspective, not an insider's perspective.
So I know you've been in this situation. I've been in this situation. You're sitting in these meetings with the president of the United States, with really senior administration officials, and you're wondering, as I'm giving legal advice or executive privilege advice, you know, is this anonymous? Well, we find out who anonymous is, but anonymous denied it. This is anonymous, Miles Taylor, on Anderson Cooper before he came public. Take a listen to the question and the answer.
There was an op-ed, there was a book by someone calling themselves Anonymous. Are you aware of who that is?
I'm not. Look, and that was a parlor game that happened in Washington, D.C., of a lot of folks trying to think of who that might be. I've got my own thoughts about who that might be, but, you know, I
you're
want
not,
my folks
you're not
to be
anonymous.
On the president, and I certainly don't want to. I wear a mask for two things, Anderson, Halloweens and pandemics.
Yeah, you're a liar. No. Okay, total lie. And, Rick, this is what bothers me. He, when he went on there, knew he was anonymous. And like you said, the New York Times knew that he was anonymous. And they all knew that this was not some senior-level cabinet secretary or senior advisor to you as the acting DNI or your chief of staff even for the embassy in Germany to a G7 country. This was a policy advisor.
Yeah, it's truly, truly outrageous. But, Jay, you know, look, this is the problem of Washington, D.C. They've got their own rules where they can create somebody as a senior administration official, and they think they can get away with it. They think that they can put one over on the American people because they think we're stupid. So this is one of the things that I've been pounding in messaging is we don't have a fight between Republicans and Democrats anymore. We have a fight between Washington, D.C. insiders and the rest of us on the outside. The rules of Washington are ruining America, and we have to start sending people to Washington that are outsiders, that are not dependent upon the social circle of Washington, D.C., where their kids go to school with all of the other swampy members of Washington, D.C., or they go to church with them, and their future is all about Washington. We've got to be careful what we're asking of Washington, D.C. types, because we're asking them to change their own city and their own way of life, and they will never do that. We have to send outsiders like Donald Trump. This is why the insiders of Washington, D.C. hate the president and are doing everything they can to destroy him. Remember this, 67 Democrats refused to show up for the president's inauguration.
Right.
If that would have happened in another country, we would have called it out and said, stop being sore losers, stop undermining democracy, and realize you lost, and make your country great.
Rick, a final question for you, because I know you are literally at the rally that people are seeing, possibly on their TV screens, or hearing about the president about to hit the stage there in Michigan, and you've already spoken at the rally. On these Fridays before the election, we go around with our team, and we kind of say, you know, listen, we know that things can change even in the final 4 days of this, but with the early votes in and the early votes tightening that we're starting to see as well, that CNN's starting to freak out about the blue wall crumbling, to quote Don Lemon. If this election was today, if this was the day people were going to the polls, who do you think wins?
I think Trump is going to win because there is no blue wall. There's a blue media screen, but there's no blue wall. I'm out here in the Midwest, and let me be honest with you, I see sweet corn and apples having more signs than Joe Biden. I don't see that Joe Biden has any ground game. Right now in the Midwest, in Michigan and Pennsylvania, if the election were held today, Donald Trump wins and sweet corn comes in second.
You know, that's interesting because when I was in North Carolina, a lot of apple signs up right now in the last couple of weeks. So I would say Trump and then balsam apples. That would be number two. All right, Rick, thank you for being with us.
We'll talk to you next week, Rick. And again, folks, we'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live, taking your phone calls.
Support the work of the ACLJ. Look what we've covered today. You're supporting this broadcast. You're supporting our work with Rick Grinnell. You're supporting us helping that student in Southeast Georgia who's going to have the president's lawyers able to represent him because of your support to the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
We will fight for the right to live. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Just a reset for you, if you're just joining us, Rick Rennell was just joining us. We always clip his interviews out and post those on social media. He's got a great new post up at ACLJ.org, and certainly something he would know about as former acting director of national intelligence and a member of the Trump cabinet. How this anonymous revealed was just another radical left mainstream media hoax. And he's got that up at ACLJ.org, so check that out by Rick Rennell. We'll be sharing that as well. I want to play you first. When CNN started getting nervous last night, and Don Lemon started getting nervous last night about Joe Biden's blue wall. I think Rick Rennell just called it a blue screen. But take a listen to Don Lemon.
Joe Biden says it is over if Florida goes blue. He is up 3 points over Trump, according to CNN's poll of polls there. But your campaign doesn't need Florida. Is this time in Florida today? I mean, are you worried that Georgia, he's there. He's in Georgia earlier this week. Should you guys be there more often shoring up this blue wall that seems to be crumbling?
Well, Don, we are fighting for everything.
So let me just jump in here. So then you get the campaign trying to explain why they're not in the states that they do have to win, and they're yet spending time in states they don't have to win. And then we saw...
Well, you've done campaigns. Why are they going there?
They don't know how to close.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton's campaign did not know how to close. All she had to do to probably win that election was spend more time in the Midwest.
Yep, she wouldn't do it.
She didn't do it. So Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota, just stay there. Ohio, and then, you know, pick off two of those, she becomes president of the United States. She didn't go there. She didn't spend the time in places like Wisconsin. She wrote it off. And now you have Joe Biden. He's on fishing expeditions, hoping to turn a state that is solidly or has been solidly red blue in a state that he doesn't need to win to become president. And again, with Florida acting like, oh, if we get Florida, it's in the bag. But it's not really in the – you're not that close to being in the bag there in Florida. You're putting a lot – you're saying a lot by that. It's going to be one of the states that comes in early, because let's put the graph up on the screen from CNN. This is important for people to see. Last week, you really only got mail-in votes. So the Democrats were outperforming Republicans by, I think, 10 or 20 points. I mean, there's a big, big difference. But once early voting started in Florida, that means in-person voting in Florida, when you combine – mail-in ballots and early voting, statistical dead heat. 41% Democrat, 38% Republican, 20% no party. Let me tell you who that 20% no party is helping. Donald Trump. That's silent majority. That's the nonpartisan group. So they're freaking out. Chris Cuomo had Harry Eaton on, who looks at all of these polls. Take a listen.
I think it's so important to point out, this is not surprising to me. It's not surprising. Just look at this latest Quinnipiac poll from Florida. What you see is the vote by mail, overwhelmingly Biden. What we've seen in the last week in that state, as more people have voted early in person, that has closed the gap between the Democrats and Republicans amongst the early voters. But that was to be expected. The Trump voters are going to come out strong to vote in person. The Democrats are much more likely to vote by mail.
So here's what's interesting about that, fan. And let's be realistic here. The voting in person is about to take place on Tuesday, which will still have more people. At least what we have so far will be in person.
And it's going to overwhelmingly favor the president. Look, the analysis there is completely correct. Yeah, the Democrats might be ahead in early voting, but Jordan knows this better than anybody. They have to dominate the early voting to actually carry at the end of the day. And Jordan, I would tell you one thing. I would add one thing to your analysis about comparing this to Hillary Clinton. I think in the case of Hillary Clinton, it was just pure hubris. She thought it was over, and that's why she didn't go there. I really think that Joe Biden is trying to open up other paths, because I think he looks at that traditional, easiest path across the Rust Belt. And because of the minority vote that you were talking about, I think he sees his odds there shrinking. And so he's desperately looking for other paths.
Well, certainly. I mean, we've heard it from members. We heard it from Debbie Stabenow, saying the auto workers are voting Trump. She said that yesterday, and we need to really work on it. That's in Michigan. Now we've heard a Democratic congresswoman in Florida say Hispanic vote and black vote is not going all Biden, so we better get people out to the polls. So the mail-in idea just does not look like it worked in the battleground states, because once you start having early voting in person, it's tightened everything up, and then Election Day voting is going to favor, traditionally it does, Republicans. We've got a lot more coming up for you on Jay Sekulow Live. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Secchio Live. We're going to start taking some of your phone calls. In the final segment, we've already heard from Rick Rennell on our team about where he predicts if the election were held today. And I say that because so much can happen in 4 days in politics. I mean, so much can happen in the world, in our country, in 4 days. So I don't think it's fair to say exactly what will happen on Tuesday. But I think, you know, from our team, traditionally we've kind of all made our own personal calls on the Friday before. And I think I'd add to this team, do they think Republicans keep control of the Senate? That doesn't mean it could be by 51, but do they keep control of the Senate? We'll do that in the last segment of the broadcast, but I want to start taking some of your phone calls now. Let me talk to Lance in Minnesota on line one. Lance, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Good. We're good.
Good, good. Hey, last night I was at a town hall for Jason Lewis. He's running for U.S. Senate here in Minnesota. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it because of his emergency hernia surgery. So Mike Lindell spoke. And there was a lot of people there for Trump. There was a lot. There was a Somalian woman there. She's probably about 40 years old, had her MAGA hat on. She said over 50% of her community are going, love Donald Trump. I mean, she spoke probably for 10 minutes after the, you know, during the Q&A. And they also mentioned or notified us that the Court of Appeals here in Minnesota rejected to extend the vote count. So November 3rd.
That decision came in last night. U.S. Court of Appeals said that a attempt to extend the date on which mail-in ballots would be counted was unconstitutional. That went back to the federal court, federal court, state court distinction.
That's right. There is a distinction between the federal court and the state court and the Supreme Court of the United States.
At least according to the Chief Justice, there is.
Yes, according to the Chief Justice.
I'm not so sure.
There's this distinction, and I think Justice Kavanaugh, in a footnote, would agree with that. We don't know what Justice Barrett said. She's not involved in that case. But I think there is a distinction between that, and that's pretty clear.
You know what's also I find interesting, Wes, and I know you've been in Georgia, and I want to get everybody's kind of take on this. I think the African American male vote is, although it will still be majority Democratic, there will be another one of those, like it happened last time, where it goes up 4 or 5 percentage points, which frankly can win a state.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm seeing it.
Rasmussen this morning says that if the election were held today, 31% of black voters will vote for President Trump. That is unheard of.
That'd be the highest, I think, in U.S. history.
The highest in U.S. history, absolutely.
Yeah. So we don't have Harry yet, right? His next segment?
Yeah, next segment.
Yeah, okay. So, I want to get his take on that, too. Dan, what do you think that's saying? Because you say saw that in Michigan, the caller.
Yeah, if that number's even close, Jay, it would be a landslide. I mean, it wouldn't even be close. And you look at states, especially like Georgia and Michigan. Actually, when I was listening to Rick talk about the minority vote there, I actually think Michigan is one of these places where it could have a huge, huge impact. Last time around, President Trump only got 8% of the vote. I mean, even if that only went up to 10%, Jay, that's a 25% increase. And in Michigan specifically, you're seeing very strong support both for President Trump and also for John James, who's running in a very close Senate race there. So I actually think in Michigan, for sure, there's going to be a pretty dramatic uptick among African-American voters voting in the Republican ticket. And in Georgia, Jay, I mean, if the movement is even a point or two, Georgia is nowhere close to competitive if that happens.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and we're seeing, you know, people like Lil Wayne put out tweets standing next to President Trump saying how great it was to meet with him. This platinum plan for African-Americans is wonderful. He will get it done. Same thing from Ice Cube. And so, again, we talk a lot about Hispanic males, I think African-American males as well. And then talk about Wisconsin, too. You got former Green Bay Packers quarterback, I mean, just a famous, of course, across the country, Brett Favre, tweeting out his endorsement of President Trump today. That has a place in Wisconsin, I mean, specifically. And, again, when you see this kind of action before, you see this kind of momentum start building, I think that, listen, did we play David Axelrod yet?
No.
Listen to David Axelrod. He's been joyous about this election up until now, bite 26.
The other thing you notice if you look deeply into these numbers is that where the fall off is appears to be among African-American voters, and that is a concern.
Maybe that is a concern is an understatement, by the way.
Criminal justice reform, the Maybe. Platinum plan, the fact that the president has said—
Enterprise zones.
Yeah, the enterprise zones— That, again, with Tim Scott working with President Trump, he's done all of this, and then yet all the Democrats say is, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. And the guy who said that was Joe Biden, acting like, using slang. Like, this is what doesn't work. And I think the black vote is realizing, especially the males, the black vote, too, that, you know what, like, we've got nothing
and we're getting
from these
Democrats. And our business until COVID, obviously, that's had an impact, but was good. And a lot of these are small business owners.
Yeah, this racism people talk about and riots, we don't want them either. And we want law and order too.
Right.
We don't want our small businesses burned down because we happen to be in a minority area.
What happened, Jordan, to pick that up in Atlanta when we had the riots and the protests, the Wendy's was burned down in an area off Interstate 75 in southwest Atlanta. A black-owned business was being burned down, and the police couldn't even get in to put out the
fire.
And
that was an area that just had been reestablished.
Correct.
Right.
Just cleaned up in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And you had African-American-owned, black-owned businesses, small businesses in these areas being burnt to the ground. Now, that doesn't help the black community, of course. And this is what's so ridiculous about. So, of course, there are going to be, if anybody thinks that any particular racial group, Hispanic, black, Latino, whatever it might be, are monolithic in their voting, guess what? We live in the United States of America. And in the United States of America, monolithic voting really doesn't happen.
On Fox News this morning, and of course she's part of a large group of black voters for President Trump, and she said the Democrats have a proprietary attitude towards the black vote, as if they own the black vote. And yet you look at President Trump, not only the platinum plan and the things that he's got coming up for the black community, but also what he's done already as far as criminal justice reform and those kinds of things.
Which never happened under O'Biden.
Absolutely not.
Obama, Biden, a fan, never got even touched criminal justice reform.
Yeah, nobody, no individual, no community wants to be a political pawn. Everyone would want an elected official, whether you voted for them or not, to actually reach out, to listen to your concerns, and then to try to do something about it. And, you know, Jordan talked about the comments that Vice President Biden has made recently. I think it has been pretty revealing inside that community that, maybe we have had a long time of voting for people that then don't give us an audience, don't give us a seat at the table. And the president has done it. You know, Jay, you mentioned the crosstab of African-American males, and that's where the greatest uptick uptick is happening. But look, it's all upside is for a Republican ticket when it comes to African-American females, because traditionally Republicans haven't been able to make inroads into that crosstab at all. And I think that's going to happen this time. And again, I come back to this. In places like Michigan or Georgia, if you get a 1 or 2 or 3% uptick, it changes the election, just that switch from last time around.
You know, I'm going to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Mary in California online, too. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mike, I have a couple of questions. One is, on these percentages that you're showing, how do they know if they're Democrat, Republican, Independent? Because I haven't sent my ballot in yet, and I'm really concerned if my ballot's telling them that I'm a Republican.
Some states track it and some don't. So Mary, that's why you're only going to get the data from some states. Some states track if you are a registered Republican. You actually have to be party registered. You could be an independent, by the way. 20% of the ones in Florida that have come in are. But you have to register by party. Usually it's because those states require you to be registered by party to vote in that party's primaries. Some states allow you to choose which primary you want to vote in. You can't vote in both, but you can vote in a Democrat one year and a Republican primary the next year. So that's how they know that if Joe Smith turned in his ballot and he's from here, is he registered as a Republican? So that's a Republican ballot. Or if someone else, if they're a Democrat. And I think so that's how they track this. This is not polling. These are actual numbers of people who
are. Not every state has.
And that doesn't mean that they voted Republican just because they're Republican registered. It doesn't mean they voted Democrat, especially for Joe Biden, because there's a lot more Democrats who just haven't changed registration that vote Republican than the other way, because more people have been joining the Republican Party over decades. It used to be the Democrat Party was in firmly control of the country. So, again, that's why. It's not in every state we can't get those numbers. But in states like Florida, we can.
All right. We're going to be taking a break. Come back. We're going to do, I guess, our predictions. Yep. And Harry Hutchinson will be joining us by phone as well. And we'll be taking the rest of your calls, or as many as we can, at 800-684-3110. You heard about that student earlier in the broadcast that wore a Trump superhero outfit and was embarrassed by his teachers and school administration, and was told he can't do that. And as we said, students have these free speech rights, and I don't care whether we're talking about the Supreme Court of the United States or national security issues with the former director of national intelligence or a student in South Georgia that needs help from the ACLJ. Your support of the ACLJ not only keeps this broadcast on the air, but allows the president's lawyers to go help that 10-year-old in Southeast Georgia. So support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So before we finish out today, we will go around the horn to Than, me, my dad, to Andy, to Wes, to Harry. We've already got it from Rick Rennell from our team on the president. He predicts a victory because of the blue-collar vote, especially happening in the Rust Belt and what he's seeing around the country, which is just the enthusiasm. And he is literally at the rallies that you're seeing on TV. He's pumping up the crowd. He actually, on today's broadcast, this is something that ACLJ was able to bring to you throughout this entire, and Rick will still be joining us, you know, throughout the whole election time. But we're able to bring someone like Rick Rennell, who is literally leaving the stage of the 20, 30, 40,000 person event, pumping the crowd up, and then joining you live on radio with an update on the Trump campaign directly. We were able to bring him in to the broadcast on a regular basis, write pieces for the ACLJ.org. He's got a new one up today called Anonymous Revealed, Another Radical Left Mainstream Media Hoax. That's because of your support to the ACLJ.
I was going to say that. You know, how many times did I call in from just leaving the Oval Office, or Rick's called in, or you've called in after a meeting at the White House? Andy, same thing. And your support of the ACLJ keeps this broadcast on the air. And we are going to be broadcasting election night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Than will be joining with us, too. And last time we were able to make some pretty aggressive calls, which ended up being right. And we'll see what happens on Tuesday night. But I wanted to ask Harry Hutchinson this, and Harry's joining us by phone today. Harry, let me ask you this. There are reports, and a lot of them now, that African-American males, black men, are skewing towards the president in a much higher percentage this time than last time. In fact, this time than any other time. What is your sense of that? And obviously, that's a game changer electorally.
Well, my sense is that the momentum favors President Trump among African-American males for several reasons, including the fact that Democrats have traditionally taken the votes of African-Americans for granted without delivering any benefits. So if you look at all of the large cities in America, most of them have been suffering for decades, poor schools, high crime, you name it, and the Democrats keep claiming, give us another chance, and we will deliver next time. I think people are fed up, and therefore they're turning to President Trump.
I think Harry's exactly right. I mean, we'll get the numbers Tuesday night, but we're already seeing those numbers starting to pan out. All right, Jerome, let's grab some calls.
Yeah, we're going to grab calls now. Let's go to Linda in Idaho on line 3. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
So much is riding on this election, not only for our country, but other countries around the world. And I know that there's prayers going out for the reelection of our president. And I do believe that's going to happen. But I do have a concern. What if we lose the Senate to the Democrats? We lose the power. What will happen?
You change you beef up your White House counsel's office because you're going to have to be fending off what we saw a little bit in the House of Representatives. You're going to see it in the Senate. But remember, president has a veto right also.
Right. So you might not see a lot of new legislation. You know what you start looking towards?
Foreign policy.
Foreign policy, executive action, which President Obama did.
These are things within the purview of the executive.
Midterm elections can turn things around for your final 2 years in office. But I think, and it's very hard to see, the president winning and the Senate not remaining in Republican control, even if it's on the, you know, with 51 votes. You look at the states, it's hard to see that happening.
But you just said something really important. If it did happen, I don't think it's going to, but if it did,
it's not the end of the world.
The foreign policy issues, which are front and center and have not gotten the attention they deserve in the media, like the whole reordering of the Middle East, Wes, that kind of situation can move because that's squarely within the presidential authority.
Yeah, absolutely. And President Trump has proven, in spite of Nancy Pelosi in the House, which will not cooperate with him on anything, that he has the authority and the will to impact foreign policy and to bring about changes and achievements that no other administration has done, particularly as it relates to Iran, to the Middle East, and to trade.
There's also, Jordan, you were mentioning executive action. Harry, that also on the economy, there are things that can be done.
Absolutely. So the president has moved very aggressively with respect to making sure that individuals continue to get benefits despite the unwillingness of the Democrats to cooperate in providing needed benefits to individuals who are laid off from work because of the coronavirus. We have already seen a massive increase in economic growth. That was published yesterday, and it is record growth. And if the Democrats attempt to thwart this president, the president will indeed take aggressive action.
All right. Let me go right to the phones. Let's go to Renee in Texas on line one. I think it's a great question for our panel. Renee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Just quickly, I was wondering what your legal opinions were with respect to the inconsistencies in the Supreme Court rulings regarding mail-in ballots. For example, Wisconsin, they said that the mail-in ballots had to be received by election day in order to count. North Carolina, they just ruled it could go up to 9 days. Pennsylvania, 3 days.
Yep.
And then even Kavanaugh ruled with the liberals on this issue.
I want to put it in perspective. These wasn't a merits ruling. It wasn't a decision on the merits. Even Justice Thomas did not want to expedite the review. He said we could do that after the election. They didn't want to do anything with 3 or 4 days out of the election.
So what we're seeing is that in all these cases, and listen, it's bothering the Democrats more than Republicans.
Yes,
in Pennsylvania, for instance, Renee, every ballot that comes in late is being marked
segregated.
Because the Supreme Court is saying we have not passed judgment on whether or not those ballots will be able to even be counted.
Correct. So I don't want everybody to get confused, Andy, over the procedural move on a stay, which are difficult to get, and the substantive decision, if in fact a decision the court were to hear the case.
That's right. The Supreme Court basically is saying it is too near election day to make a ruling on the substantive merits of the case. We're going to stay, or we're not going to. We're going to stay our hand, stay our action before we get into that, and segregate the ballots, as we said, in some jurisdictions. But that doesn't mean that the Supreme Court will not thereafter take action.
All right, let's go to Joseph in Arkansas, line six. Joseph, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Go ahead. Hey guys, I got a quick question.
Yep.
Would the election Tuesday night ever reach a point that Trump would take the Electoral College, the election would be called, no more votes would be counted, and it's over?
No, they're not going to know more votes will be counted. They're going to count every vote, of course. And the Electoral College, and look, there could be things like this. You could see in North Carolina, for instance, where the way they work there, they pre-screen their votes that are coming in. So when they flip the switch and you start seeing votes, you're going to see the early voting coming in, not from the people that went and early voted, but the mail-in ballots. And then maybe then the early voting, then the actual one. So you could start behind in North Carolina and then go up. Pennsylvania, kind of the opposite. Pennsylvania is going to be the live voting that took place that day. Then they add on the other. So we'll see. I think we're going to have some really good ideas that night. All right, Jordan, we got to make the predictions.
Yeah, it's time for everybody to make their predictions. We'll go around. I will start with Than Bennett, who's in Washington, D.C. Than, your prediction, if the election were held today, take out all the craziness that can happen in the next 3 days. Because a lot of votes are already in, and only 7 states allow you to change your vote if you voted early. So most people, if you voted, that's your vote. You can look at that up to find out if you're in one of those states. But Than, your prediction.
Jordan, I'll say the president with 295 electoral votes, a 50-50 Senate, and both Georgia Senate races on a runoff on January 5th.
Yeah.
Let's go to Harry.
I agree with Than. I think the president will do slightly better than Than's estimate, but the Senate will be very tight.
I agree with the Trafalgar poll, who says the president will win Michigan with 280 electoral votes.
The president will win.
The president will win.
That was Andy.
That was Andy. The president's going to win, and watch the House of Representatives.
All right, here's Jordan. 296 electoral votes for President Trump.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.